Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome on into our special edition of WWL Sports Talk at the Rouses Market on Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma. Shop, rent, save at Rouses, the official supermarket of the Saints. Want to remind everybody, too, Louisiana sweet potatoes, just 23 cents a pound. Save 76 cents per pound right now. Guys, we're getting into our segment of the show, Pick Six, baby. Finding out how we did last week and then making our selections for this Thanksgiving weekend of games. Charlie?
Well, I think Charlie set me up. When he made me do that pick, I thought he set you up. No, I thought Brock Purdy was still playing.
Brock Purdy wasn't playing until Friday.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. I had to pick before, and I go, Charlie, I can tell you. Well, when I saw Brock Purdy was playing, I go,
forget about it.
Ain't no way they're going to be done.
Okay, how is that Charlie's fault?
That's because true. You said we got to pick the game, because we picked it away on Wednesday.
I mean, then he played on Friday.
Yeah, I was like, okay. No, we picked it too early. And I was like, damn, Brock, I should get a mulligan on that one.
A mulligan?
Yeah. I'm like, hey, come on.
Oh, well, I got to get a mulligan on Ohio State then. Ooh. In Indiana.
I'm not giving any of y'all anything on Ohio State. I picked Indiana in a point.
That's a lot of points.
Okay, Charlie was the only one who got it right.
Charlie's a genius.
Bobby, I'll give you a mulligan on the 49ers game because the line jumps so heavily. And that's the only reason. Like, with Brock Purdy out, I think the closing line was like -6.5. And when we picked it, it was like Green Bay -2.5. So it was a gigantic jump. So I'll give you a mulligan on it. I'm not against doing that. In our updated standings, guys, looking back at last week, I went 5-1. Steve, you also went 5-1. The difference there, the Ohio State-Indiana game, but you also had the Ravens. You were the only one that picked the Ravens out of all of us, -3 against the Chargers in L.A. last night. So congrats, Steve. We both went 5-1 this past week. Mike, the only game we had different was that Indiana-Ohio State game, so you went 4-2. And then Bobby, you know, I'll give you the mulligan. You went 3-3. So looking at our updated standings, I'm 39-33. Mike, you're 37-35. Both above 500. Steve, you're at 36-36. And Bobby, I'm giving you that mulligan, so you're now at 32-40 instead of 31-41. So, looking ahead, we got rivalry week this upcoming weekend, guys. I picked two really, really great games in college football, and then, you know, we have to pick kind of LSU in there as well. So, we'll get to that later on. But first and foremost, we got a game that has maybe some potential playoff implications here. Number 16, South Carolina at number 12, Clemson. The Clemson Tigers open as 2.5-point favorites at home over their in-state rival.
I'm going to SEC. I guess I'm SEC biased. I like South Carolina's defense. You know, I don't know. I'm just going with South Carolina because they in the SEC and Clemson's not. That's my rationale.
They're hot. I mean, they're hot now. I think it's a good pick. I'm picking them as well. I love their defensive line. Clemson has been playing well, but I'm just going with South Carolina here. I think that they're making a push.
Clemson.
Okay. Mikey D's going to be the only one because I'm going South Carolina too. So interesting. Mikey going with the Tigers.
Whoosh.
I'm going with the Fighting Cocks. I love it. I think I had the best mascot. The Gamecocks. Don't you love it when South Carolina, they play good? They have that rooster. I mean, that's unbelievable when they play in the stadium. I mean, it's not the whole 100,000, but I think it's like 80,000 plus.
And they blast that thing over the loudspeakers,
and then what they do, the Sandman, the song, and the crowd goes crazy. No, but never winning anything, South Carolina Gamecock fans, they surely support their team.
Yeah, they do.
Moving on, guys, we got the best ticket in the Lone Star State. Number 3, Texas, 5.5-point favorites at number 20, Texas A&M.
Well, I would say I'm going with the SEC team, but they're both in the SEC now with Texas. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Aggies because I want to stir the pot to make a lot more controversy. And how many points I'm getting, Charlie?
5.5.
Okay, I'm going to take the 5.5.
I'm like A-Bear. Give me that 5.5. Give me the Aggies. And I don't think they win, but they keep it close.
Yeah, right. To me, gentlemen, too, getting 5.5 at home in this matchup, I'm too – can't stay away from the Aggies on this. Give me A&M at home.
Oh, wow. Clean sweep, guys? Like, after what happened in Auburn this past weekend, I think if you look at, like, what Coach Elko was saying about, you know, he kind of misstepped in one of his press conferences last week that they were preparing for Texas instead of Auburn. And it kind of, you know, he overlooked Auburn and it bit him in the ass. But now you're looking at this Texas matchup. I'm in agreement with you guys. I think it's too many points. There's some kind of question marks about Quinn Ewers in this game as well, if he's going to be playing. So give me A&M plus 5.5. And we're moving on. The final game of college football week 14. It's not really a rivalry game. It's the first time these teams have ever matched up in Tiger Stadium. Oklahoma at LSU. Same number here, guys. LSU minus 5.5.
I don't know. Oklahoma's not very good. I think if LSU's still training in the right direction, it should beat them by a touchdown, if not more. Oklahoma's a 500 team. I don't care if they just crushed Alabama. But I don't know. They got a running quarterback, and I might be a little worried about that. But I think the first time Oklahoma come in the Baton Rouge, I still think LSU's going to cover and go into the bowl season on a high note. Not the playoffs. But the bowl season.
Man, Oklahoma is so schizophrenic, and you hate to pick that. I'm going with LSU.
Yeah, as bad as LSU's been to me this year on our picks, I'm sticking with the Tigers to give me LSU at home against Oklahoma for sure.
And before you go, Charlie, Olio, to me, that's the most shocking upset of the college football season, how Oklahoma beat Alabama. I don't know. Name me another game. I thought it was a misprint. They go, no, wait. Maybe Alabama won.
The Vanderbilt, beating Alabama.
But the game was close. This was not even – Mike, 24-3, I go, what? There's no way. That's not the right score. And it was like, well, the game wasn't even close. Embarrassing.
The one thing with Alabama, they got jobbed on that Ryan Williams catch. The referee, that was a bad call on his part.
Yeah.
But still, it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game.
Yeah. What you got, Charlie?
I agree with you guys. I'm going LSU minus 5.5. I just don't like Oklahoma's offense at all. I agree as well, Bobby. That score line, as soon as I saw it was like getting out of hand, it made no sense to me that Alabama's offense with Jalen Milroe, and we've seen what he can do, you know, in all these big college football games. 3 points against this OU defense and Brent Venables. But I'm still going with LSU minus 5.5 at home to close out the season. They end the season on a high note. NFL Week 13, guys. We got the Chargers at the Falcons. L.A. and Jim Harbaugh, 1.5-point favorites in Atlanta.
So what are we going against Atlanta now?
Chargers, Falcons.
Chargers, Falcons.
We need the Falcons to lose. I'm going with the Chargers. What was the spread?
2.5.
1.5.
Sorry.
I'm getting the Chargers at 1.5. I'm taking the Chargers.
Give me the Chargers. They bounce back, and boy, they can run the football. Can Atlanta stop the run?
Wait a minute. It's not that big of a deal, obviously, with 1.5, but it's Chargers getting or giving it to 1.5,
Charlie.
They're
getting 1.5. It's minus 1.5.
So you got 1.5. So if it's 24-23, you'd win if you take the Chargers.
I'm still running with Mr. Harbaugh and the Chargers here. Give me them against the Falcons. Haven't been impressed with this Falcons squad.
We just want them to lose.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that they can consider their tailspin at the end of the season right now. Right, exactly. So give me the Chargers.
Clean sweep here, guys. The Falcons looked horrible in that game against Denver a couple weeks back. So L.A., you know, they bounce back from that loss to the Ravens. They pick up a win. They stay in that AFC playoff picture, minus 1.5 in Atlanta. Up next, guys, we got the Saints hosting the Rams. The Rams get 3 points in the Superdome.
Give me the Rams. The Saints got to prove to me that they can put pressure on Stafford and cover their receivers. I'm going to go with the Rams.
No, and the Rams are favorite, Mike? And
3-point favorites.
Yeah.
3-point favorite.
Well, the Saints might not win, but they're going to cover. I'm just taking that route. I don't know. I think it's going to be a close game, field goal type game. I'm going to take the Saints and the points.
You know, the Rams have been an up-and-down team, too, this year, so I'm going to take the Saints at home getting points. I just I'm believing in the Riz right now with this black and gold bunch.
Yeah, but the Riz don't have to cover nobody.
The Riz don't play cornerback.
I hear you, but we're getting points in this matchup at home.
I'm just hoping the Saints win. I don't care what the points are. They just got to win.
And the Riz, he don't rush the quarterback.
Yeah, guys, the Saints got to win.
Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp have each dealt with injuries at times this year, but if you look at their stats, number 6 and number 8 in the NFL respectively in yards per game, and I just don't like the matchup. Give me the Rams minus 3 here. I think, you know, maybe the Saints can cover it, and this might be a push. Like, we might be talking about a field goal type of game, you know, whether that be 27-24 or something like that, but I'll take the Rams, and I'll take minus 3 points here. And wrapping things up, we got one of the best games of the week and a team that continues to burn me. So I don't know why I keep putting them on the schedule, because every time I pick against them or for them, it always doesn't work out in my favor. The Ravens are getting 3 points at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. And we were just talking with Mark Schlereth and, you know, the battle of these great running backs. Derrick Henry versus Saquon Barkley, guys. It should be a fun one.
Well, to me, the Eagles have been consistently rising. Jalen Hurts is playing a whole lot better than when he played the Saints. And the thing is, the Ravens can be up and down. That was a big nationwide win going way to the West Coast against the Chargers. Give me the Eagles, because I'm telling you, the Ravens have lost games. Who they lost to? I was like, what? They lost to the
Raiders.
Browns, the Raiders. And I'm like, that's
the
why
Browns.
The Ravens.
The Browns.
The Browns,
right.
Yes. So all of a sudden, you look at a team like the Ravens, they could, you know, it'd be like, you know, the Dolphins are another team I look at. They beat all the weak teams, and then they lose to the teams that are really relevant. Well, the Ravens are one of those that you might think they're going to bounce back, because the Eagles are relevant right now. So that I'm kind of torn right now, but I just think the Eagles are hot. I just like the way they're playing on the line of scrimmage.
Tough game for sure.
I like them because I think they can win the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And tell me how many carries Derrick Henry had, and then we'll figure it out. But I'm going Eagles.
Well, you got to give him at least 20 carries.
But sometimes they don't.
Monken, if you don't give him 20, they give him 20 carries. The Ravens always win.
I'm being the pessimistic Eagles fan. Give me the Baltimore Ravens at home. I know. I'm just not a believer still in this Eagles squad. Hey, even though they've been rolling right now, there's just something janky with them.
Steve's trying to do some reverse psychology. I'm telling you, deep down, he's putting.
I'm taking Ravens.
I know he's taking fly, Eagles fly.
I'm pulling for him. I just don't think they're going to win.
Well, Charlie, where are you going?
This is the toughest one of the week, guys. I'm going with the Eagles here, and that means that the Ravens are going to win, so Steve's going to get a win. This is tough. I mean, the Ravens' pass defense has been horrific, but their run defense is among the best in the NFL. And so that's what kind of gives me pause here. It's like, yes, the Eagles, you know, they've been beating the crap out of teams in the line of scrimmage, but I don't know, man. The Ravens are tough. And so I'll go with the Eagles just because it feels like they've been playing the best football of any team in the NFC outside of Detroit. But it's a toss-up game. Plus 3 points, that's basically the only reason I'm going with it.
Here's my deal with the Ravens. They ain't played that Eagles offensive line and Saquon Barkley yet.
No, I agree.
That's
look
true.
At that.
That's true.
They ain't played that cat
and,
yet.
And Charlie, I got a quick triple option because it's going to be irrelevant after today. Because, you know, I look at today in history. You know how old the NFL is? Y'all, we look at like, well, look at, oh, well over 100 years old. Well, you know today's birthday? The NHL, National Hockey League, was founded in Montreal. They were the National Hockey Association, became the NHL, National Hockey League, in 1917. So, Mike, what was the NFL, like 22? Yeah. So they're basically 5 years older than the NFL, National Football League, that being the NHL. And you look at that, great sports heroes, the first kicker in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We all acknowledge Martin Anderson, the great Dane from the Saints. Jan Stenerud is 82 today. He's the old Kansas City Chiefs kicker.
He did not play college football. He was a skier.
Whoa, think about that. Pro Football Hall of Fame kicker with the Chiefs. First one. And he was the skier, like Mike said.
Oh, that's
Mike, true. Mike, where is he from? Is he from Sweden or
yes.
something?
Yes. Yeah. So Coach Stram told me this when he was alive. He worked with us here, and he was like, we had a scout tell us, man, you ought to see this athlete. And we think he can kick. And so they brought him into camp. Hank was like, wait a minute. How many times have you kicked the ball? He said, none.
Well, and none, and think about that. No, just everybody played soccer like when they grow up. But
Tony Fritsch was like that too.
Yeah, Tony Fritsch.
He was the exact same guy.
I have a couple of other connections here. Football Hall of Famer Art Shell. You heard of that name, right? Art Shell. He's 78 years old today. Art Shell. I thought I'd be playing for Art Shell when I held out in 1990, but Finks would not trade me to the Raiders. And Art Shell had many conversations with Art Shell. By being the quarterback for the Raiders in 1990.
Cajun Cannon in silver and black.
No, and they went to Los Angeles.
Like that.
They were the Los Angeles
Raiders
then.
Back then.
Yeah, it's Art Shell, and so he's turned 78 today.
Whoa. Then think about, we grew up watching, and everybody said, oh, they ran left because Kenny Stabler was a left-handed quarterback. You know why they ran left? Gene Upshaw, Art Shell. Both guys in pro football. No, Kenny's in there too, but both of those, the left side,
yeah,
Olin in the Hall of Football.
And the last but not least, 30s, football Hall of Famer, now a little closer to our age. He was the one, you know, you remember like Lawrence Taylor and the Giants, Harry Carson.
Oh yeah.
Harry Carson is 71 years of age. You know, you talk about the linebackers and Gary Reasons, Northwest Louisiana. So you look at Lawrence Taylor and all that. Harry Carson's one. Then remember Carl Banks with Michigan State. Harry Carson didn't get enough recognition. He's almost like the Von Johnson of the Dometro with Von Johnson of the Giants, that being Harry Carson with those Giants defenses.
I was going to say he's a bigger version of Sam because
He sort of ran that defense. He was the quarterback of the linebackers.
He said, I ran nine guys and me.
Yeah.
And then LT, he did what he wanted.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah, that's a true statement.
That was our segment, Pick Six. When we get back, we're going to get a Saints practice update with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Stay tuned right after this here on WWL. Be right back. Welcome into our special edition of Sports Talk at the Rouses Market in Houma, Martin Luther King Boulevard. Shop and save at Rouses, the official supermarket of the Saints. Remember, folks, Louisiana sweet potatoes right now for Thanksgiving, just 23 cents a pound. You save 76 cents a pound right now. Cajun Cannon, Mike, we're going to welcome in now Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak to the radio huddle. Jeff, I know it's a strange day to be back at a Saints practice on a Tuesday, but it was good to see, at least I saw from what everyone was saying on Twitter, that Tano Passanio back on the field. So more and more of these banged up black and gold members are getting back at least.
Yeah, I kept forgetting what day of the week it was because, Tuesday is typically the off day. The players and the staff is getting Thursday off for Thanksgiving. So the Saints practice today, we didn't get an injury report, though. So, while we have attendance, we can look at it. We don't actually know who was limited, who wasn't. But, Tano Passanio has been out all year with a torn Achilles that he actually got injured during a workout in the offseason. I think he was running at the facility. And we've seen him kind of working off to the side basically all year long. Like, it's kind of been a running joke. Like, oh, there's Tano again, because he's always out there working with trainers. So it's kind of cool to see a guy work his whole way back. And at one point during practice, Darren Rizzi went up to him and just kind of like, patted him on the head. Like, it's good to see you. He broke the team down. So, I think anytime you get a player back like that, there's going to be an energy boost. The funny thing is, we were talking about on the podcast yesterday, the defensive end group has been remarkably healthy. I think Peyton Turner's missed one game. Chase Young hasn't missed a game. Carl Granderson hasn't missed a game. Cam Jordan hasn't missed a game. So I don't even know if they necessarily have a spot for him right now, but it's still good to get guys like that back.
Jeff, one of the guys didn't look like he was in participation today, but this may have been a Veterans Day off, Eric McCoy. And so maybe kind of comment about that. We know Eric got hurt, and he kind of pulled himself out.
Now, was it the same groin or different groin or what, Jeff?
I would think it's the same injury, and maybe he felt a little tightness.
Yeah, I think what Deuce talked about on the broadcast was like scar tissue could be an issue, stuff like that. Basically, what Darren said on the Monday after the game was he got tests. They came back clean. They weren't super concerned about it. It was a good thing they were on a bye, so they didn't really have to ask that question. But, we go out to practice today. He's not there. It sounds like because they started practice early, they were choosing to kind of just give him a normal practice week. It starts on Wednesday. So if he's out there in a limited capacity tomorrow, I think we'll feel a lot better about it in terms of his availability. But for now, you still have to watch it because, obviously he had surgery on that groin. It's not a good thing to see him dealing with that still as you're trying to get through a season. So if he can't go, I imagine it would be Shane Lemieux starting. I don't know who would be the backup. Maybe Lucas Patrick, but he wasn't out there either. It seems like he's still working back from that ankle injury. So definitely some questions on the offensive line again.
Bob?
Jeff, what I'm pleasantly surprised about is the success, because I said, I don't know how it's going to work out. Now, from an offensive perspective, because most teams, you don't have your number one receiver, you don't have number two. You look at it, no Chris Olave, no Rashid Shaheed. What's going to happen? I don't know. Maybe Derek Carr has gotten better because Ali spread the ball around. Now, I'm going to give an example. You look at the group of receivers before this recent two-week stretch. They had just had 15 catches for 104 yards this season, in a Saints uniform. Then all of a sudden, you look at two games without either Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed in the lineup. Derek Carr has completed almost 71.5% of his passes, 517 yards, four touchdowns, zero interceptions, in the last two games, has a QB rating, passer rating of 128.5. I'm saying, what? Now, what's been surprising, and we all know about Valdez-Scantling, last two games, 5 catches, 196 yards, 3 touchdowns. Boy, really, Rashid Shaheed times two kind of thing. But the one thing that I think what Derek Carr has done, and it's been a pleasant surprise, I guess, because you still put him in this category as being a tight end, would be the three-headed monster. You know, look, Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson, and Taysom Hill. You look in the last 2 weeks, the tight ends, how they've been utilized. Taysom Hill has 10 catches. Juwan Johnson, 5. Foster Moreau, 3. Think about how important and what they've meant to Derek Carr. So I can say, I don't know what's going to happen against the Rams, but I think the tight ends will be targeted, considering the success Derek Carr has had with that position. When you're looking at over the last two games, you're talking about 18 catches from the tight end position. So when all said and done, you look at targets, catches. I don't know. I think it's going to be somewhere like 7 to 10 in this game against the Rams, and try and exploit that, considering Derek Carr, Noah being a quarterback, how you comfortable in having success with those individuals. But that would, to me, shows you that Derek Carr is a lot better than you think. If they block for him, now how many quarterbacks can say you don't have your number one, number two receiver, and he still has a quarterback rating 128.5 and throwing it basically 71.5% and no picks and 4 touchdowns? No, Derek Carr, look, you can love the future and all what's going to happen with Spencer Rattler or Jake Hayner and all that. No, Derek Carr is a difference maker. Whether you want to believe that, I just know what happened the last two games.
Because you saw what the two backups could do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think when we look back at this season, whatever it ends up being, we're going to look back and we're going to say, okay, who had kind of a pleasantly surprising good season? Like, who put up a lot more stats and numbers than we probably thought they were going into the year? I would guess Foster Moreau would be the top answer to that question. I think he's had a really strong season for a guy you didn't expect to impact the passing game all that much. As far as Derek, I agree. I think he said a couple weeks ago he thinks he's playing the best football of his career right now, and it's hard to disagree when you see what he's been able to do and with the cast of characters he's done it with. You look at one stat I'll point to, and I was kind of digging into this morning. The Saints have only allowed 7 sacks in 8 starts with Derek Carr. And that's not for great offensive line play. That's a quarterback understanding when he needs to get rid of the ball, when a play is dead, not taking bad results. And, you know, you could say, hey, well, maybe the offensive line is just pass protected. Well, this same offensive line allowed 14 sacks in 3 starts with Spencer Rattler back there. So I think one thing that we take for granted with Derek, at least this year specifically, he hasn't been taking sacks, and he's been putting the Saints in better offensive positions. And I think when you do that, you give yourself a better chance for success, particularly when you don't have the star players to bail you out of bad situations. So that's where I look at Derek, and I say he makes a big impact in terms of when he's on the field versus when he's off the field.
Jeff, one of the things, and watching him throughout his college career in the NFL, he sort of bounced around. The one thing he was consistent with was dropping passes, and that's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. When he's with the Saints, 0 drops. He's caught 6 passes for 201 yards.
Oh, yeah.
3 of the 6 catches went for touchdowns. He's averaging 33.5 yards a catch.
If he just cuts that in half, he's still amongst the leaders in the league.
I was going to say that.
That's crazy. No, keep that up. You know, that's been a pleasant surprise. I tell you what, as far as because, Jeff, I know you got to love the way Derek Carr throws that long ball. I can tell you, I think out of all NFL quarterbacks, how he's not trying to be – sometimes I've watched it last night, even Justin Herbert.
Yep.
Trying to be too accurate.
He's aiming it.
Put more air under the ball, let the receiver run under it. Derek Carr is as good as anybody in the league on those long balls.
Oh, I agree 100%. And you again, yeah, you're right. Look around the NFL and watch some quarterbacks throw a deep ball, and then go watch some of the long touchdowns the Saints have been able to pull off over the last couple of years, whether it's Rashid, whether it's MBS, whether it's Chris Olave, anybody. He just puts it out there well. And, I think Derek's arm talent is impressive, right? And when he's putting it all together, you see, okay, this is why he's getting paid or he's getting paid. Can it be consistent? That's the question. And I do think, like, if you're the Saints and you're talking about a guy who showed up in week 9 in MVS, and you see what you're getting out of him now. Definitely is a, you know, a win.
Okay, we lost Jeff.
That was our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Noak. We'll catch up with him. I'll be talking to him tomorrow morning. Doing,
but you know who can throw a
inside
real
good, Black and Gold podcast.
You know who can throw a real good long ball too. Man, I'll watch it. Josh Allen.
Oh yeah,
what's
yeah.
that height under it? Man, he got a rifle. And you're talking about a 255-pound man throwing that. Man,
no,
he puts
I can
that
tell
out
you,
there.
I didn't get that nickname Cajun Cannon for nothing.
He just put and, it like, AC, go no, run under it.
Mark Super Duper, I played world-class sprinters. I'm telling you, oh, they must really work on that a lot. No, you know what I did? I knew they were going to run past the defender, and I always knew the trajectory and the angle, and I just throw it out there and let him go get it. Like I would tell Jeff George this, who could throw as good as John Elway and Dan Marino, he's trying to throw it like 60 yards down the field like a bullet. I go, no, and the
receiver. It was a rope throw.
And then he ended up throwing it over their head. I go, no, put some air in that you're going to have a touchdown. See, I don't know how you process that, but Derek Carr does an outstanding job with that. Watch how he drops it in the well. We're all talking about dropping it in the well. Man, we've seen that drill that they did in training camp
and
the garbage cans.
Yeah, sure, right.
Man, June Jones invented that. I'll tell you, June Jones, the first one, going back to Warren Moon and all that, throwing as quarterbacks, trying to be, you know, you might be across the field 30, 40 yards and trying to drop that football in a garbage can.
I would say in our lifetime, who had the most talent never achieved that big level? Jeff George.
Oh, yes.
My God, he could throw a football.
Jeff George, I'm telling you, I think Archie Manning's in here. The number of starts, like 100-plus starts, whatever. Like Jeff George, Archie Manning, one of the individuals, you probably can look, Google this, like a winning percentage of like 32-33%. No, you know, you talk about like started a lot of games and did not win.
Nothing.
No, and Jeff George, that's one thing him and Archie have in common.
We're taking a break here as we wrap up our special edition of Sports Talk at the Rouse's Market in Houma. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Be right back after this here on WWL. Tomorrow on WWL Sports Talk, me and Mike Dottilio will be taking till 6:30, talking Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy at 420+. Get the best bets for a busy Thanksgiving weekend of college and NFL action from Odyssey betting insider Brad Evans at 520. Then it's Pelicans versus the Toronto Raptors. Pre-game coverage, 6:30, tip-off at 7 on WWL 870 AM and 105.3 FM. That's all that action for you tomorrow coming up on WWL. We'll take a break and close things out here from the Rouse's Market in Houma right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Well, gentlemen, time flies when you're having fun. Always a good time here at the Rouse's Market in Houma, and actually all the Rouse's Markets we get to hang out. I want to say, obviously, happy Thanksgiving from Donnie Rouse and the Rouse family. Always a good time, like I said, and appreciate
you learn
it
how to say
here.
Knock can.
There you go.
You come over here, Mr. Knock.
Also, I'll never make that a mistake again.
And we want to also thank Marcy, Nathan. Man, Marcy always takes great care of us, but thank Donnie Rouse, the Rouse family.
Feels like home.
Here. Yeah, they
feels like home.
And we close to home.
Yeah.
The two of us are.
Home of the chicken. You know what the LSU Fight Tigers playing the Sooners on Saturday? Can they help out Nussmeier and run the ball? If they now look at this, after a subpar performance against the Aggies, look, they ran. People don't realize because we lost to Alabama. They ran for 5.6 yards per carry against Bama and 6.6 against Florida. You keep that up, I guarantee we finally looks like we turned the corner. We haven't recognized that because we disappointed in the team, but they have run the ball better down the stretch. And look at Nussmeier, how you handle adversity. That's how I look at a quarterback. He was a 76%, 28 of 37, 332 yards. I think Nussmeier is going to have a big game against Oklahoma. I think he's going to continue what he did against Vanderbilt, and they're also going to be able to run against him, I think, which will obviously help the Tigers win.
Here's my deal, and he gets caught in kind of all this mishmash of what's happening on offense. Man, we're going to appreciate him when he ain't here. Mason Taylor, a tight end.
A tight end. He's the record holder.
Good gracious. Look what he has done in that three-year span.
So, Mike, where do you have him, like, with the drive? Is he, like
he would be a second-day pick.
Yeah, okay, okay.
See the second or third round. Okay. He'd be in that range. The guy I want to see of where he's going to fall in the draft, Tyler Warren from Penn State, the tight end who has played fullback, halfback.
Kind of like Taysom Hill, huh?
He's played center. He's played quarterback. He plays on special teams. Man, that guy, and I think because of Taysom's what he's been able to do in the NFL, it helps Tyler.
Yes, right? Because teams recognize that. Okay, who's the – because Sean tried that with the Mississippi State guy.
Nah, he never worked out.
I don't think he lasted 2 years.
I talked to Rich Marty. Rich said, Mike, as good a player as he is, he's a better individual.
Kind of like Taysom Hill.
Yeah, so aren't we kind of watching that? Now, can he do it at the pro level?
Right? Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Me and Mike Dettelier back tomorrow on Sports Talk. Cage and Cannon, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Also, a shout-out from sales executive DePaul Smith for setting all this up. Happy Thanksgiving from him as well. Cajun Cannon, tell the Who Dat Nation.
All right.
Have a good one.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who Dat? Go Saints.